The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 15.
Hello everyone, and welcome back finally to The Dark Paranormal, Season 15. It's Good Friday everywhere for those who celebrate it, and let's hope we can make it a great Friday, because we have one hell of a true paranormal experience to share with you today. I believe I received the experience towards the back end of season 13, but couldn't find the right space for it within season 14. However, from looking at it again, I think it makes the perfect debut episode for season 15, and I think you'll agree. I often talk about the importance of visuals within the experiences that we cover. Obviously, this is an audio podcast, therefore the visuals are the key thing that allow us, the audience, to feel like we're part of the narrative. And for me, this experience, specifically around one key feature, and you will all come to learn what that is, are spectacular. We may all have completely different versions of what it is that we're visualizing, but I guarantee you it will be terrifying. But before we start our journey into season 15 of The Dark Paranormal, we of course need to thank our wonderful team members over on Patreon. When you sign up to Patreon, not only will you receive every episode that we release, both ad-free and before everyone else, but you can also gain exclusive access to the Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites is a show that runs every single Sunday of the year, irrelevant of a break in between seasons. So, whilst we've just had our season break, our Patreons still have their paranormal fix. Also available to you is over 60 hours worth of Patreon-only content through Dark Bites, the entire back catalogue. These are experiences which have never been broadcast on the main feed. And of course, the early access aspect means this debut episode has been heard by our Patreons days before anyone else. In all sincerity, the best thing about the Patreon community is that itself, the community. I have been and still am a member of several paranormal groups. Now, unfortunately, the subject of the paranormal can be rather toxic. One thing we are very proud of over on our Patreon is that it is a safe space. I've looked into the paranormal for over 30 years, and even now, through Dark Bites, I'm learning things I've never even considered before. So it's almost becoming a learning base, and I think all our Patreons would agree. We've built a wonderful team of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts over on Patreon. And we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation to the right people to join our team. And if you think that's you, simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have: Hannah, Sarah Marie, Ersa, Sarah Evans, Christy Miller, John Corran, CT, Ross, Quinn Pallone, Jade, Samantha Barr, Martin, Erin Turner, Tiana Percy, Kieran Carson, Claire Eastwood, Frankie Doodles, Brandon Percy, William, Hannah Furhurst, Bill Barrett, Ashley Beasley, Steph Ottman, Rachel T, Lavender Lynn, Rachel Mejia, Adubies, Riley, Winona West, and Mary Jean Catone. Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys. It truly means the world to me. And if you haven't heard your name yet, don't worry. That's quite standard when we have a season break. Your name will be called on one of the future episodes, I guarantee. And so, if early ad-free releases, such as this debut episode, our finales, and all of the shows in between, plus over 60 hours of unheard Patreon-only material, sound like your thing, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, after a while of not saying it, it's a pleasure to ask you to lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we ask the question, what dwells in the well? My name is Sally, and I live in a small town in the Midwest. I've always been, let's say, healthily skeptical when it comes to the paranormal. And that is until a few months ago, when my husband of 12 years and I separated. The truth was, the air had grown stale between us long before the final goodbye. The spark, so to speak, had dimmed, replaced by a comfortable routine that felt more like an obligation than love. Wake, work, eat, Netflix, I go to bed, he stays up till around 1 a.m, rinse and repeat. The separation was amicable. It was almost a relief. He wanted to stay in the house, a place dripping with memories, both good and bad. It was his family home, so I expected no less, and I certainly didn't begrudge him it. But I also couldn't bear the thought of not raising our kids within those walls any longer. In spite of everything, it was our house, our home, our safe space. And it wasn't just me. The move was especially hard on Amy, my youngest, especially since her recent ADHD diagnosis. The constant clutter and chaos within our old house only exacerbated her symptoms. A fresh start, a new environment, some stability. These felt like the best chance for her to thrive. Her siblings, Beth, a year older, and Andrew, 16, both seemed to take it in their stride. But their future school reports would prove otherwise. My friend, God bless her soul, offered a temporary haven. She was a high flyer within the investment world, and she owned a large old Victorian house, which she very rarely stayed in. In fact, it had been laying vacant while she travelled. So much so, she'd recently both renovated and placed it on Airbnb. It was beautiful, but it wasn't perfect. A little creaky, a little dusty. The new mod cons that she'd had fitted for the Airbnbers were almost a weird out-of-place juxtaposition amongst the Victorian remainder of the home. But it was spacious, and more importantly, thanks to how kind she is, it was free. Equally important, it felt peaceful. Or at least, a first. We settled in quickly. The house had a wonderful calming aura, and the kids seemed to adjust very well. Amy, with her boundless energy, explored every nook and cranny. Little did I know, one particular nook held a darkness that would turn our peaceful haven into a chilling nightmare. My old Victorian house certainly had its quirks. The creaky floorboards, the drafty windows. But I'd never felt anything out of the ordinary until that night. I was up late working on a project, and the house was silent. Everyone else was asleep upstairs. Suddenly, I heard it. Footsteps, clear as day, coming from the empty upstairs hallway. My heart skipped a beat. Surely it was just my imagination. I crept to the bottom of the stairs, straining to listen, but nothing. Just as I scolded myself for being silly, the footsteps started again. They seemed deliberate, and they seemed to be coming down the stairs towards me, stopping midway as if to form some sort of barrier. Well, the terror jolted me into action. I had to check on the kids. I ran through whatever was apparently on the stairs. I composed myself at the top, and I crept towards my daughter's room, my heart hammering. Their rhythmic breathing filled the silence, and for a moment, the fear subsided. Maybe it was the wind after all. I turned and crept down the hall to check on my son. His door was slightly open, and I popped my head in. And that's when it happened. The footsteps. They were behind me in the hallway now, just outside the girl's room, and then they stopped. In that terrible suspended moment, I imagined unseen eyes peering through the crack of their door. My mama bear instinct surged. "Get away from them!" I think I screamed, but my voice was caught in my throat. Throwing all caution to the wind, I charged towards the sound. But then, nothing. Only the echo of my own ragged breathing. The hallway was empty, just as before. I stood there, shaking, staring into the shadowy corners, knowing what I'd heard, but unable to comprehend it. I gingerly walked downstairs. I went to the kitchen, got myself the first knife I could find, and I spent the rest of the night clutching that knife huddled on the couch, too terrified to move. The first rays of dawn brought no relief, just anger that I'd also now had no sleep. The house felt heavy, like something oppressive was lurking just out of sight. Things began picking up. It was no longer just footsteps. Whispers in the darkness. That might have been my name. A fleeting glimpse of something pale just beyond my reach. Appearing about 2 or 3 feet away. An icy chill descending upon a room for no reason. And the footsteps. The footsteps become more frequent, closer, always following the same unsettling rhythm. The kids were changing too. My normally carefree daughters had become withdrawn, clinging to me more than usual. Even my sturdy teenage son looked on edge. I could feel it wearing on all of us, this unspoken fear. We couldn't ignore it forever. One night, after tucking the girls in, I found them huddled under the covers, whispering. "Come on then, what's the gossip, girls?" I said, sitting on the bed. "The stepman," my youngest squeaked. "He comes to watch us." I nearly collapsed. I wasn't expecting that response. But still, a desperate part of me searched for an answer. Any answer. Any answer other than the supernatural. "Girls, girls, a new house takes a lot of getting used to. New noises, new shadows," I smiled. "He's naked," said Beth. This sent a chill down my spine. Again, I forced a smile. "Stop trying to freak yourself out, okay?" I said, standing, raising my arms like that would make any difference. They both smiled and nodded, and I smiled back and walked out. I scoured that house, checking for drafts. I even called my friend to see if there was anyone who could have moved in whilst she was away. I believe it's known as frogging. Apparently it's common for people to move into vacated premises and basically live there. And sometimes, even when a family moves in, they know the place so well, they can just, for example, live in the attic and come out at night and raid your fridge or do whatever they please. Or maybe there was a stalker, somebody who would do anything just to get inside her house. But she reassured me that that was not the case. And not only that, the home was provided service by at least two alarm companies. So the chances of somebody getting in without her permission were close to zero. Stood there, alone in the dark house, I asked myself the impossible question. Is this truly paranormal, or am I losing my mind? Don't get me wrong, things weren't bad every day. But they were more than they weren't. One day, the kids were all outside. I'd been working remotely as an accountant, and exhaustion just settled over me like a heavy cloak. The kids were all playing in the backyard, and for the first time in days, I found myself alone in the house. Silence. Not the peaceful kind, but a heavy, oppressive silence that seemed to press in on me from all sides. An inexplicable feeling of dread washed over me, prickling at the hairs on my arms. It felt like the house, as stupid as this sounds, was holding its breath, waiting. The silence was becoming unbearable. My soul almost left its body with fear as I glared towards the window. But relief flooded in as I noticed it was my sister, Mia, standing outside the window with a mischievous grin on her face. "Surprise!" she shouted through the window, waving at me.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, I threw open that front door and I gave her the biggest hug. Mia was always impulsive and had decided to drop by for a visit. The arrival of a friendly face chased away the dread, replacing it with warmth and laughter. Over steaming mugs of coffee, I spilled everything. The strange footsteps, the unsettling feeling that seemed to have gripped the house. As I spoke, a shiver ran down my spine. "Speaking of strange," I said, "there's something I have to show you." Now, I'd only been into the basement twice, but the basement was one of those areas that my friend had had renovated for Airbnbs. It seemed very out of place, but there was one very peculiar feature about the basement. It freaked me out so much that I'd only go in there if I needed to. And this was the feature I was about to share with Mia. Leading her downstairs, I explained that the floor of the basement contained a well. Mia, ever practical, rolled her eyes and said, "Well, that's just a hole in the floor, Sally." My friend had placed a reinforced plastic see-through flooring over that well covering. And I walked over to the well, stood on it, and said to Mia, "Come on, come and have a look then." Now, here's the thing. Mia has a fear of heights, and we're forever playing pranks on each other. And this well, you couldn't see the bottom of it. It was a long, dark, round pit. So I knew it would freak her out. Mia came over, her brow furrowing. She then got on all fours to take a deeper look through the perspex. And then it dawned on her, she was in the centre of that black, long pit. In a split second, her face contorted into surprise, she lurched backwards, clutching at the railing for support, and I burst out laughing. She laughed at my laughter, and we both had tears streaming down our face. As I watched Mia, usually so composed, try and regain her composure. "Seriously, Sally," she gasped, wiping her eyes. "You almost gave me a heart attack." "Sorry," I spluttered, wiping away my own tears. "But you didn't see your face. It was priceless." That moment of shared laughter felt like a lifeline. A brief respite before the chilling reality of the situation settled back in. Mia left. The children arrived from school. They were all fed. We watched TV and they went to bed. And it was that night that Amy started sleepwalking. I always slept with my room door slightly ajar, in case any of the kids needed my help. I'd wake to the sound of bare feet padding across the floorboards. My heart would be in my mouth as I'd creep to my doorway and find Amy perched on the landing, eyes wide and unseeing. Each time I'd open my door and she would be stood side on at the top of the stairs. She would outstretch her left arm towards me, waiting for me to grip it, which I always did. She would then proceed to lead me to the same place every time. The basement. To the property's most macabre centerpiece, the well, covered by that thick, transparent plastic. A chill would run through me, as each time this happened, Amy would begin humming a haunting melody, which seemed to fill the air more than it should, if that makes any sense at all. And it was a tune I'd never heard before. Amy hummed it softly at first, the sweet tones of a child's lullaby, almost. But my skin prickled with unease. Every time, I'd wait until she stopped humming, and then I'd slowly guide her back to bed. The house changed even more. The atmosphere grew thicker. An oppressive weight started settling upon all of us as the footsteps intensified. Amy's humming grew louder, the mournful melody of a constant eerie backdrop. She became pale, withdrawn, a shadow of her former self. Her eyes seemed hollow, as if reflecting some dark secret she could never tell. One afternoon, the kids were at school and the house stood eerily quiet. As I moved from room to room, an oppressive feeling of dread descended upon me. The air thickened and the very silence seemed to scream with a malevolent energy. I knew something was about to happen. I ran into the kitchen. An old clay pot, which had been on the shelf since we moved in, had now fallen to the floor. As I began picking up the pieces, a strange scraping sound came from the living room. I ran in and my blood ran cold. The heavy coffee table was stood on its side, vertically. I stood in the doorway between the living room and kitchen and just thought, well, no draft has caused that. As I stirred, wide-eyed, a sharp click echoed from the kitchen. I whirled around and I saw it. The basement door, previously latched tight, was now ajar. An icy chill pricked my skin. I very precariously walked to the door of the basement and looked down into the darkness. I felt it. I saw nothing, but I felt its eyes upon me. A presence acknowledging its own power amidst the frigid air that was flowing up the stairs. A man's voice, distant and mournful, reached my ears. Not words, though. It was the same sleepwalking melody from Amy's sleepwalking. It drifted away and the air felt normal again. I slowly closed the door. I picked up the remaining shards of clay and realized I'd have to wait for Andrew to come home from school to help me put the coffee table back in place. In the meantime, I sat on the couch picking my nails. That evening at dinner, I cleaned the plates to start dessert. Amy was scribbling on her book and began humming that same tune. I froze at the sink. Only this time, there were words. Only one or two were discernible. Cold old well, and more humming.
Never again.
My throat was dry. I cleared it and said, Amy, honey, what are you singing? She shrugged and carried on. I sat down. No, Amy. I leant over and took the pen from her. Listen to me. Where did you hear that song? Beth interrupted. The stepman's teaching her it. Amy snapped. His name is Arnie. She jumped out of her chair, the chair falling behind her, and she ran for Beth. I'd never seen her like this. Andrew jumped in between them just before all hell broke loose. I sent them both to different rooms to calm down. Something spooky's going on, Mum, said Andrew, as we fixed the chair and just stood around the table. I was catching my breath. What do you mean? I panted. Well, I'm just saying, something's not right with, He pointed to the basement. I think I brushed him off and poured a much-needed large wine. The next day, I called Mia to come round for company. The kids were back in school and my nerves were shot. She was her usual wonderful self and took my mind elsewhere. What with neighbourhood gossip, her crude sense of humour. It had turned 2 p.m. and she convinced, no, ordered me, that we both should finish that bottle of wine I'd started the night before. I laughed and told her it was in the fridge, explaining where the glasses were as I headed upstairs. And that's when I heard her panicked voice from below. I ran down the stairs, and I found her staring at the basement door, her face pale. Sal, please tell me that you have a cat, she pleaded. I looked at her, confused. No? Why? Because I've just saw something black and fairy run behind that door into the basement. And it was bigger than a rat. An icy wave of fear washed over me. I'd felt something too. More than just a draft, but that oppressive silence before the presence would reveal itself. Well, there's nothing down there, but... I trailed off, gesturing towards the macabre well feature. Egged on by Mia, I summoned my courage and slowly opened the basement door fully. We waited, heart pounding, for a flurry of movement. Hopefully some raccoon or something was going to run away. Or maybe some large spectral beast was going to charge us. But nothing. Cautiously, we egged each other on to walk down the stairs, a hair's breadth away from each other. Then I saw it. A dark, smeared handprint on the plastic flooring. Mia gasped, her hand flying to her throat. We inched closer. It looked like a scorch mark. I bent down and licked my sleeve and rubbed. And the hair stood up on my arms, because the handprint was under the perspex floor. The air around us instantly felt different, charged with a strange energy. I swallowed hard, my mind racing. I thought of Amy, her connection to the song, the footsteps. As silly as it sounds, was she calling this stepman into our world? We both felt like kids being chased back upstairs, and I slammed the door shut. We glared at each other. What do you know about that well? Said Mia. Nothing, nothing at all, I replied. Mia pulled an almost WTF face and opened her hands. Well, let's go to the library, the town hall, anywhere that will tell you something, she implored. So we jumped in her car, First stop, the town hall. They were really helpful, especially given the house had apparent special status amongst the town from a historic perspective. Great, I thought, we should get all we need from here then. But no, not everything. Only the name of the original occupiers, Mr. and Mrs. Arnold Rogers. My blood ran cold, thinking of Amy's outburst. But Mia was on a hunt now. Now we had a name. So off we went to the local library. The first guy we spoke to wasn't very helpful and led us to some computers, but they weren't databases. They were just PCs for people who didn't have their own access. Still, I googled with what I had, but nothing came up. Thankfully, probably after hearing my sigh, an elderly worker came over to ask if they could help. I explained our issue, and he smiled and led us to a separate room. There were three desks with microfiche equipment on them. It wasn't dusty or anything like that, it was actually very well kept. He brought out six boxes, all dated from the time the Rogers had moved in. Well, Mia and I spent so long poring over every last microfilm, I even text Andrew to ask him to look after the kids' dinner. We were in that cramped room for what felt like forever, reel after reel, when Mia sternly said, "Come here now." Running over and checking her screen, there was a very old local newspaper article, featuring an old, grainy picture of the house. The title, not winning any awards in today's PC climate, read, "Naked Lunatic Found Roaming Town." The article continued to describe how an Arnold Rogers had been found by residents, walking naked through the streets, smiling and humming a tune to himself. The police were called and he was taken to the nearest mental facility. The article went on to say that neighbours of the Rogers believe Mrs. Rogers had been having an affair with a carpenter from the next town, and at some point had decided to elope in the middle of the night. Apparently, one neighbour recalled Arnold knocking frantically at 4 a.m. one morning, asking where his wife was, saying he couldn't find her. The neighbour debated calling the police, but decided against it. Neighbours from the surrounding houses then report seeing a steady decline in Mr. Rogers. He became unkempt. He would garden at midnight. It appears, according to the article, that his sanity was slowly slipping from him. And this had led to his eventual naked stroll through town. The officer in charge said he was very polite on being approached and sat and hummed to himself all the way to the hospital. I just knew in my soul what that tune sounded like. The article ended with some legalese regarding Arnold Rogers now becoming a resident of the mental facility by involuntary commitment, and that an auction on his property was expected in the next few months. Well, that was that. I couldn't stay another night there. Mia, of course, offered her place as an emergency crash pad. The poor kids, returning from school to find packed boxes scattered everywhere, and then having me pile everyone into my sister's car, must have been beyond bewildered. As we pulled off, I cast one last look at the place that had promised sanctuary, but instead revealed something far more sinister. As we drove away, the haunting melody lingered in my mind, an echo of the house, the well, and the madness it unearthed. Is that spirit gone, or simply waiting near the well? I looked in the rearview mirror, and Amy stared a hole straight through me. I pray nightly that the move has shook the thing's hold on Amy too, and not left part of it with her. But time will tell. I don't know the answers, and sometimes I'm not sure I want to. The events of the last few months have shaken me to my core. Normality won't be on my radar for some time yet. As others have said, and it's true, writing this has been cathartic, so thank you. But my memories will never disappear. Take care, Sally. Well, Sally, thank you so much for an unbelievable debut to season 15. And I always feel terrible when I say this, but if by any chance whatever was in that house has followed Amy, please make sure we're the first to know. I sincerely hope it's not, but I'd love to know if it has. We'll be back through the week for our very first minisode of season 15. And of course, we'll speak to our Patreons on Sunday for another episode of Dark Bites. For everyone else, I'll speak to you again on Wednesday. And until then, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you right here next time on The Dark Paranormal.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.